Blog Talk Radio.
Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit shall inspire the speaking and understanding of everything uttered here today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hi, this is Donald James Parker, and welcome to another episode of Wielding the Sword of the Spirit. My guests today, I have two of them, are from EMSI, Marcia Friedman, who's here with us already, and Roger Hodges, who's a little late to the party. As soon as he calls in, we'll get him in here. First of all, Marcia, you want to explain what there he is? Get him in here. Could you tell us what EMSI stands for as I'm getting Roger in?
Sure, absolutely. Actually, it's an acronym for Event Management Services, but we're a national publicity agency. Clients hire us to get them on radio shows like yours, Don, and on TV, and get them editorial coverage in newspapers and magazines to, you know, build their brand as an expert or promote their book or their film or their product or service. So that's essentially, we are just a national agency, been around for 26 years now.
Okay. Roger, welcome to the show.
Hey, Donald James Parker. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Okay, here's the scoop.
I wanted to know what... Okay, go ahead.
I started writing a book called So You Want to Change Your World. And so one of the things in it is going to be about how to, you know, build a platform, you know, the Michael Hyatt theory, you know, how do you reach an audience and so on. And as I was doing, I go, I need to talk to experts on this and just be able to present what's available out there, not just what I've experienced, but what's available. And I'll just get a hold of my buddy Roger and ask him some questions. And then dawned on me, well, why don't I just have him on my radio show, and then I have it recorded. I can listen to it at will, and he can share this information with others. And maybe you can scare up some clients, and you can make some happy clients. But what most people find themselves doing is they, if they make a movie or write a book, they think it's the hardest thing they've ever done in their lives. And then they get done, and they go to try to market it, and they discover they were wrong. There's something harder than creating that product.
You're exactly right. I always say anybody can write a book, but it takes a team of people to sell a book, right?
So a lot of the people, you know, they run into a situation, they get stonewalled at every turn. You know, they try to, you know, you say, well, you got to get on the radio, you got to get on TV, you got in the newspaper stuff. And it's like, well, I can't even get these people to return my calls. How am I going to get on, you know? So can you give us some insight into, number one, how you guys go about that, and number two, how someone who wouldn't have the clout that you do, is it possible for people that don't have the money to throw at something like this, is it possible for them to succeed in this business?
Roger, do you want me to take that one?
Well, what I was going to say to Donald James is that, honestly, Marcia should have this entire interview. I was, you know, you asked me to come on here as the expert, and I'm really not. I'm the promoter of Marcia, and you'll utilize Marcia and her skills at EMSI to promote with her team. And I honestly really feel it should be the two of you on the live call-in. Yeah, I think it would flow better and just be better content. And, Marcia, you already know the offer. I was able to negotiate the offer for you, for your show and viewers. So, Marcia, that's my thought.
Okay. Well, Donald James, let me answer that question because it's a really good question, and we run into it all the time. And quite honestly, I ran into it when I first started my agency because I really wasn't a PR. I had no experience, didn't understand it. But what I really was a marketer. So I understood marketing. And my hook, my marketing hook for starting my business was just getting paid when I booked the media. Well, that was very smart in theory, but then I had to really figure it out. So it took a little doing, but I realized over the years that the simplicity for anybody trying to get into the media is really understanding what the media's needs are. If you understand that every radio host out there, every TV anchor, every journalist, what their goal is to build their audience. And they know their audience typically like you do. You know what's going to interest them. So if you're looking to pitch the media and become a media personality, you have to be thinking not about what's wonderful and great about you or your book or your film or your product. You have to be thinking about what is going to be valuable to that audience, that what information can I share that can help them, that's going to engage the media's interest in having me as a guest on the show or interviewing me. So it's not about you, it's not about your product, it's about what information do you have that you can share and offer to the media to become that guest. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, for example, we have, Roger, you don't even know this, but it was kind of coincidental that you asked me to join the show, knowing that there's filmmakers that are out there listening. We actually have a client right now who is a movie producer and director. And his latest movie that he's working on is Creepy Zombies. So it's in the zombie genre, right? Well, we definitely are going to go out later on when the film is ready to air, distribution, and all of that. But in the meantime, we're trying to create buzz for it. Well, how do you do that? The media doesn't care about what you're going to do. But what we did come up with was something that was very near and dear to his heart, which was making films. He's been doing it as a kid. So we kind of came up with an angle about how to help your children realize their filmmaking dreams, to get them on the air and to get them in print. So what does that do for him? First of all, it builds his brand as a filmmaker, number one. Our editorial coverage, where he's now being quoted as an expert on how to make a film, it builds his following, it builds his online equity, I mean everything, so that when the movie comes out, you know, then he's going to already have, you know, people hearing about it, knowing about it, and it just kind of culminates into now moving into promoting the film itself. So that's, you know, just as an example of how we would go about doing things. We're all about building somebody as an expert, taking them as an expert. And, you know, Donald James, in answer to another question that you actually presented, if you don't mind me just addressing that, anybody can actually, you know, become, you know, get spotlighted in the media as a guest as long as they have a real expertise that they can share and they're willing to share it. That's the secret sauce behind it all.
Okay, so what about people that write a work of fiction? They don't seem to have this expertise involved. There's a million books written every year, so there's a lot of competition, not only for, you know, the market's dollars, but also their time, and also the talk shows.
Great question.
How about fiction?
Yeah. No, fiction is a great question. And, you know, I think I'm one of the early ones who actually broke the code a little bit on that. But you've got to have an author who's willing, who understands it. So my first client who wrote a fiction book, it was back in the early 90s, he was a doctor, a general practitioner in, I think it was Alabama or Mississippi, somewhere like that. So he wrote this murder, a medical thriller novel. So, and a lot of the content in the book had to do with medical malpractice. Well, there happened to have been things in the news going on about medical malpractice at that time. So we pitched him as a guest on talk radio, talking about a little bit about medical malpractice. But in the interview, of course, he's being interviewed as a guest and as an author of this book that was just released, name of book, you know, and website address, and talking about medical malpractice, and then also drilling him and coaching him on how to tie in your book that you knew so much about medical malpractice in order to even write the book. So, you know, that's kind of the approach. We have fiction authors all the time. We have one right now who it's more about this person as a personality because of what he's done in the past, and now he's transitioning into being a novelist. So there's always a hook. you know, I'm always looking to find what is it about this person that's unique, that's different, what is it that they're passionate about, even the content of their book, is there some tie-in to real life? We have another client who's been with me for probably about 10 years, a novelist. She's got a series of five novels right now, but they're all related to the fashion industry, and that's because that was her area of expertise. She understood retail. She understood sales and fashion. So a lot of times we went out in the beginning of her campaign talking about those topics because there's always so much in the news. But then where we got the best response was when we talked about transitioning your life, because she went from being a corporate executive to retiring at 73 and then now she's a best-selling author. So, you know, it's just really digging in and finding out what is going to be of interest to everybody on the street and using that wherever you can as an angle.
Okay, since we're talking about books, let's bring up yours. Give you a little plug here. You wrote one called Celebritize Yourself. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I've been preaching for so many years that people need to write a book, because a book is the best marketing vehicle you could ever have for your business. It was the new calling card when I had written the book. But it really came about because, you know, the topic of my book came about because I just really saw all these clients who came to me with a book that opened the door to the media for them to market their book or market their business. So I understood the value of having a book, and that's kind of one of the reasons I wrote mine. But I got to tell you, when I sat down to write my book, it was really difficult because I thought there's so many books out there on PR. How do I make mine different? And then I kind of, you know, developed a process of figuring out, I got to figure out what's different about me. That will make my book different, you know. And so a good part of the book is how do you find your unique message to go out to the media with, to build your brand around. And really the book is based on the process I had to go through for myself. And then it also goes into really, you know, the importance of writing a book and then using the media to promote it and market it. But most importantly, the book being one of the best marketing vehicles you can have for any business. So that's what Celebritize Yourself is all about.
Okay, now the title comes from the word celebrity. There may be some people there that are a little adverse to becoming celebrity.
Good point.
I think you addressed that in the first chapter of the book, don't you?
Yeah. I do, and you're absolutely right about that. And it's funny because it didn't even cross my mind when I wrote the book or coined that term. But really what we're seeing, I'm not talking about that A-list celebrities. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, people that their whole goal is to be in the media. I'm really talking about people who have an expertise, whether they're doctors or lawyers or filmmakers or even writers. You know, that is an expertise. But whatever they are, they have an expertise and they want to share it, or they're willing to share it. That's really what I'm talking about, is building your brand as an expert in your field. That's really what Celebritize Yourself is all about.
People have often said that you have to have a tough skin in order to be a writer or something that's going to invite criticism. They also need to have some kind of screen filter to keep the pride factor out too. I think what you're mentioning here is that people get full of themselves after they obtain some success, and your approach here is that, hey, you're here to kind of serve the public here by sharing this wealth of information you have with them. You're not here to, you know, dance in the spotlight and say, hey, look at me.
You're so right about that. That's really been the basis of how I approach things. It's really all about helping others, using your expertise, your experience to help others. And I think we all know that in the process of helping others, we're going to be helped and it's going to benefit us, not that you're doing it for that purpose, because there's no greater purpose, I think, than helping other people. And so, but it comes back at us. So why not use your expertise, share your great advice from your experiences to help others along the way? Absolutely.
I would guess that your world has changed quite a bit in the last 10, 15 years because of the advance of technology.
Oh, that's such a great point. It really has. You know, particularly I think the biggest change has been in the newspaper industry, with all, you know, the newspapers really either cutting their staff or even, you know, going from a hard copy publication to online. It's a very different world, and there's a lot of good things about it that have made marketing anything today so much easier. If you understand it, the opportunities are much greater because everything today is online. And so anyone out there has the ability to build their presence online as a brand. You know, one of the things I tell people, whether you're an author or you're a filmmaker, you want to promote your book or you want to promote your film, but you've got to really look at yourself as a product. Because you are the talent, and you've got to consider what would my marketing strategy be to build myself as a brand. And in today, like I said, with all the online opportunities, you can really do it, whether you're writing articles for publications, trade publications, or writing op-ed pieces, or you know, being quoted as an expert. I think the point is, to your point about how things have changed, we have the ability today to get so much more coverage because there's so many publications out there that are competing with each other, looking for quality content. So my agency, our job is to provide quality content to the media so that we can get our clients coverage, and that's how we approach it. But the beautiful thing is, you know, there's so many opportunities out there today. So it's changed tremendously, Donald. You're right.
Now, one of the things that it just kind of blows my mind is that, you know, a million people writing books, and that's just per year. So the cumulative number of authors out there that would be looking for potentially for publicity, to have a unique message from each one of them, it'd be almost like saying that, that people and their messages are almost like snowflakes.
You know, what I found over the years is that there is something unique and special about every single one of us. And I think it's just a process of identifying what that is in ourselves. And when you do, you can wrap yourself, your wits around it, and it's really part of your, probably your purpose in life, what you're passionate about. I know that, you know, as an example, I had, I think you'd appreciate this, I had three clients, they were all authors, they were all cardiologists. So they all wrote a book. Now, they could have all written a book about how to prevent heart problems or heart failure, right? But they didn't. They each had a very unique passion. One of them was a cardiologist for a major, the Atkins Clinic. And so his whole thing was diet, the Mediterranean diet. So his whole book was about, you know, having a healthy heart by having a healthy diet, and he had recipes in the book. The other cardiologist had just gone through he had heart failure, went into the hospital as a patient, you know, and realized that there's all these end-of-life issues that he never addressed. He just didn't have the will and all of that in place because he thought he was, you know, always going to be around. So he built a foundation after that experience to help people with end-of-life issues, and that was what his book was about. And the third doctor was a cardiologist who had his whole practice was built on prevention and doing certain kinds of tests to prevent heart problems. So my point is, each one of them had their own passion that was down a different path, but they were all the same profession. And that's really my point. Figure out what that is that's unique about yourself. That's going to be what you're passionate about, and that's going to be the best platform you can have when you go out to the media to market yourself.
Okay, so this term, bring up the term fads. Every year it seems like we got some new topic that comes up that's hot. I imagine it's easier to place somebody on a talk show when they have some type of expertise concerning that particular thing, like this year, 2016 is a presidential election, so political experts would be in high demand, I would imagine.
Well, that's true, but then I have clients who are brand specialists, marketers, who we're getting great coverage with because they're analyzing each one of these candidates as a brand. Because there's that whole take on it. But it isn't really just about the trend in the news because, you know, if we follow the news, there's always news stories, national news stories about health issues. Dinero was just on about, you know, autism, right? He was just on the Today Show, and there's a whole controversy going on with him about vaccinations. That's in the
Correct.
News. There's, you know, there's bullying stories always in the news. There's, you know, concussion issues with sports figures. I mean, there's always something in the news. And what we do and what I recommend to anyone doing it for them, doing their own publicity, is follow the news. We do this every morning. My whole team sits in our conference room. We have a TV. We are looking at, first thing in the morning, we're looking at what are all the national news stories. And from there, we're kind of identifying, well, which one of our clients can comment on that news story? Because they're there. And then, you know, then we'll go to our client and we'll say, what's your comment on this story? How do you feel about it? And from there, we reach out to our media contacts to offer our client as an expert to comment on it. Now, that's something we do professionally. But what people can do is follow the news in their hometown, follow the local news. If there's something going on in the news that's relative to your message, pick up the phone, call the radio show, you know, find out the radio shows that have guests on. See your local newspaper, which journalist covers local news that you want to comment on, and then reach out to them, send them a quick email, mention the story, mention your expertise and the fact that you're happy to be quoted in an article that they may be doing or as a guest on a show. I mean, it's really the same process, just doing it for yourself.
Okay. Now, since this is a Christian-oriented show, I have to ask this question, is how easy is it for you to place people that expertise lies in the area of Christianity, issues dealing with Christianity?
It's a good question. We work with a lot of the religious media. So it's when I have a client who has a Christian message, very often, I mean, it's usually a message that's addressing a common problem we all have, but it may be a solution that's more on the religious side. So when we go out to the religious media, then our pitch is going to be more tied into, have a more of a religious tone to it. But that same client who's willing to talk to the secular media, which I always recommend because there's thousands of Christians listening to secular radio or, you know, reading their major daily paper. You still want that brand recognition there, but you address the secular media in a secular way. You address the religious media in a religious way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes. Because, you know, again, you know, it goes back to understanding the media, understanding what their needs are, and then serving them in a way that they're going to benefit and you are, giving them what they need.
So do you place some of your clients with like 700 Club, TBN, some of those
networks? Absolutely, yes, absolutely. We did a great TV segment for one of our clients on the 700 Club. We worked very closely with CTN here in Florida. Homekeeper show in particular, Arthelene has had, God, so many of our clients on there. And we work with a lot of the Salem radio stations.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of my listeners no doubt are eager to find out exactly what you offer. Now, when I went to the party where I met Roger, afterwards he sent out a message saying that they had a special offer for anybody that was at the party there, that we could get 10 interviews lined up for a certain price, and it was guaranteed that we would get the 10 interviews. Is that a common approach that you take, or you have multiple packages that you just explain how your business model works?
Sure, because we are very different. When it comes to radio interviews, yes, we actually sell them in a package, and usually it's a package of 15 interviews. I created something special for Roger and his group of friends and associates, but that's usually what we do, and it's very much guaranteed. As a matter of fact, what we say is in our contract, you pay for the interviews up front, and if in 5 or 6 months we don't book all interviews, in this case 10, then you would get your money back for the shows that you paid but you didn't get booked. But I will tell you that in 25 years, I think that happened once, and it was more because the client was a doctor for a major firm who didn't really want to do it. Because we book about 25 to 35 radio interviews every week. We've been doing it for 25 years. So we're a major resource for hosts who are looking for qualified, credible guests. And, you know, I'm going to be very honest with you, Donald James. I couldn't for the life of me find that offer, but I came up with something that I think is even better than what Roger and I had originally talked about. What I'm willing to do for your listeners is we normally charge $350 per interview, but I'm willing to do 50% of that just for your listeners. So for 10 interviews, I think if I'm correct, that's like $175 an interview is what I would do. And if they're interested, anybody can, well, if you'd like, contact you, and then you can share it, or they can go to my website, which is emsipublicrelations.com, and call or email and remind me about this offer, and we'll honor it happily.
Now, I will add that, well, maybe I better ask for your permission first. We have your website out on the Blog Talk website right now, so people can see that. Mm-hmm. Would you care if I put the offer out there as well, or would you want to keep that somewhat?
No, that's fine. As long as it's for your listeners, you got it.
Okay. So now I have to ask you this question. Not all radio shows are created equal. So there may be a radio show out there that got 10 listeners. So I would hope that you kind of filter the people that you're placing your clients with so that you make sure it's someone who's got some kind of audience.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in business for almost 26 years if I didn't. But the way, honestly, with the radio campaigns, we're really at this point just booking terrestrial. So it would either be a national radio show or a cable show on Sirius or a terrestrial station in, top 100 markets.
What about if you had a client say, I want to get on CBN, I want to get on, 700 Club. There's no way you can guarantee that. How do you arrange a pricing structure for something like that?
It's a good question. Actually, when a client is on, you're absolutely right, with TV we can't guarantee it. With radio you can, because you've got, over 4,000 shows, and we're not even talking about podcasts or blog. But with TV, it's such a different medium. The way we do it is if a client is on board for our print campaigns where we're getting them top-tier coverage in the print media or they're on radio, we'll take them on for TV, but we pitch TV completely on spec, and we only bill it when we actually book the interview.
Okay.
And to get prices and all that, you can, you know, anybody can reach out to me, and I'm happy to share that.
Okay. That kind of would dictate whether people even make that effort.
Exactly. Exactly. That way we know in advance. I mean, we, you know, the fees are very upfront in advance. I think the 700 Club, we charge $3,500 for that appearance. That's our standard fee. And, you know, but we would know in advance what the client's budget is. We never want to book more than the client has a budget for or put them in a funny position. So we always kind of talk that through in the beginning. So we're completely aligned with their goals and what their resources are.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
The only other thing I would say is that, you know, I do a weekly marketing and PR newsletter. It's free. It's called the PR Insider. And I'm always giving, it's not a sales piece, it's just really simple, very informative information about how to get publicity, about marketing, about social media. So anybody can go to my website and just subscribe to it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of great information there that might be of help.
Okay. One more question just occurred to me here. It's probably more of a clarification of a previous question, but... You must have like tailor-made plans. So if say that I was a client, I came into your office and I said, help me celebritize myself.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? And you would probably have some different, you know, almost like a person that's got carpeting and paint colors and stuff like that for a house or something like that. And we'll say, we can go with this package or we can go with this package. So I would assume that you probably just kind of interview and say, well, what is it you want? What's the ballpark of your budget? Yada, yada, yada. And you figure out what's the best approach to take.
Exactly. And also something you just said actually is another thing that we have to factor in. You know, if they're a paint manufacturer, for example, well, yeah, that could be okay on talk radio, but probably a better medium for them might be TV where it's all visual. So, you know, a lot of the customizing of a campaign will depend on what's your message, which medium is going to be the best for you, where you're going to get the most activity, the most coverage, and yes, combined with what's your budget, and you know, where's your product sold. You're absolutely right. It's a combination of all those things which would determine the best campaign for them, and we do that in the beginning process.
Right. Do you have any idea how many competitors you have in the publicity business?
Thousands. In the way we operate, as far as pay for performance or guaranteed media, probably a handful or two. You know, it's funny. I'm an innovator in this. When I started, there were two other agencies I knew of, and then started seeing, you know, recently 10 years, people coming up with pay for performance. But what they were doing is, you know, we'll write a press release and you pay us, or, you know, we'll do a video shoot and you pay us. And that's, we're more about guaranteeing media. That's what we mean when we say pay for performance.
Right. Okay, here, this question is probably is too big in scope for you to answer, but could you explain the difference between marketing and publicity? They're not synonymous, I would guess.
Not at all. And, you know, it's a good question. People are very confused about that. Marketing is a very broad topic and encompasses so many different tactics. You know, there's advertising, there's publicity, there's even selling, it's collateral materials. There's so much in marketing. Publicity is just one piece. It's one tool in the whole marketing spectrum. It's a very important tool that gives you brand recognition and visibility, but it's one piece of a marketing plan.
Okay. Mr. Hodges.
Yes, sir.
Hello there, Roger.
I am.
Is there anything like you'd add to this conversation?
No, I agree. I apologize to the listeners if they thought they were going to hear me speak, but really when I'm in the room or on the phone with the expert in the pay-for-performance PR world, I have to yield every time to Marcia. I do know that where she has a team that investigates the news, that finds out what's relevant, that works with the client to find out what their schedule are, what their goals are, to totally understand them. It's really unique in the marketplace. But Marcia, thank you for filling in here.
Yes,
my
thank
pleasure.
You both for,
no, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you both for joining me, and hopefully that you will generate some revenue from this activity, and there'll be some delighted clients.
Would
Donald
be happy
James,
to
thank
help.
You. Thank
yep.
you for reaching out to me, and good luck and much success. Thank you for all you do in the faith-based world.
Thank you. God bless you guys. Take care of yourselves.
Thank
God bless you,
you
too.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. So you heard it, folks, $175 for 10 interviews. Your special offer at the EMSI website. It's right on this webpage. You can just click on it and go there and find their phone number and so on, and just mention this offer and get yourself lined up for radio interviews. Take care, everyone.